The following program was previously recorded and is sponsored by Danny Yamashiro Ministries. This is 99.5 The Word.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. How far does love for family extend? Where does such love and loyalty come from? And how does a person's upbringing make a difference? Today we hear from Rainier Villa, one of Hawaii's top basketball players in the 1980s, from a family of athletes, a tender story from a humble man with a courageous heart. We pause here at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to lead you closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, for you to know and experience the love of God through Jesus. Through Jesus, who loves you so much, He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. And 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart and life of Rainier, is reaching out to you, dear friend. Wherever you are, whatever you're facing or going through, however tough things may seem to be, even however hard your heart may feel at this moment, there is always hope in Jesus. And we are trusting that the Spirit of God is moving in your life in a way perhaps you have never experienced before. Rainier Villa was born and raised in Honolulu, Hawaii. He attended Catholic school the entire time. His parents, Riza and April Villa, worked in the airlines industry and believed that education was important. They stayed active in the community through church and youth sports. After earning his Bachelor of Business Administration degree at Hawaii Pacific University, Rainier worked in the real estate field before landing in the medical industry. Rainier, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Danny. Glad to be here.
Well, you mentioned Honolulu, Hawaii, but give us more. Where in Hawaii did you grow up?
Born and raised in Kalihi. But yet had the, the advantage to meet up with so many people from different areas of the island, whether it was east, west, and, you know, windward side, that came and played in the athletic sports clubs that we both participated in, which was the Kalakaua Monarchs.
Well, take us back. Let's both walk back in time. Kalakaua Monarchs, that resonates with within my heart, and I know it does for so many others. Mm-hmm. But how did that all come to be? And in fact, take us down that road of history.
You know, interesting, because I spoke to Mom last night about how she started and founded the Kalakaua Monarchs, We were previously playing with the Kalihi Giants, and she wanted to start the club just to build something that was different. At the time, she felt more passionate and more safer, having a different set of, how would you say, coaches and so forth, set up for kids who wanted to play football, basketball, or baseball. So she got a loan from her dad, my grandfather, for $1,600. To buy equipment, to start the football, buy football equipment, pads and everything, and just went from there. And she held on to the club until I think we were in the mid to late 80s. And that's when Coach Ruben Kahanui took over at that point, and mom stepped down.
So you mentioned your mom.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of influence did she have on you, Rainier?
So mom was, she's a very strong lady. I guess you could say she's one who wouldn't take no for an answer, but did it in a loving manner. Dad was more of the yin and yang. Mom was outgoing, dad was quiet, but he still had a strong presence and a very, very smart, intelligent man. But yet, they both complimented each other. I remember growing up, we never saw my mom or dad ever get into an argument, which is a surprise. Because, you know, in marriages, there's always going to be some type of, you know, challenges, confrontations, but they always held everything together. Sure, there was some disagreements, but it was never anything that kind of, you know, we as children felt, you know, awkward or scared. So it was a very loving environment. Mom took the, you know, took the lead as far as ensuring that, you know, we were always active in some type of sports or school activity. Even summer school never let us have any down idle time. Dad was always supportive. He was a quiet supporter, but he was always there. And even at games, to this day, we still have some of the eight millimeter films, yes. VHS tapes. And so dad was that person. And after the games, you know, dad would always give us little things of what we could have done better. But he was not one who was vocally would share, but he was proud. You know, he did it in different ways, but mom was more of the our cheerleader, the backer, and did so many things behind the scenes that we were unaware of at the time.
You say we, you're making reference to your siblings.
Mm-hmm.
Share a little bit more about your siblings.
Well, I got my older brother, Howard, who was our football coach at Kalakaua Monarchs, and he played football at Damien. My brother Blaze played, we both went to Damon, but we both transferred to Marino to play basketball for Tony Salido at the time. And it was a good transfer. Damon was a great school too, but it's something that, you know, a choice I don't regret. And I still keep in touch with a lot of my friends and from Damon. And my sister Anella, she played softball and volleyball, and being the youngest and the only girl, you know, she had to, you know, stand her ground. But it was she was a tomboy, but she knew how to put on it, you know, doll it up, if you will. Yeah.
Basketball.
Mm-hmm.
When some folks think of the Villas, they think of basketball.
Mm.
How did basketball become the sport of choice for you?
Well, I think I fell in love with it because of the fact that I didn't have to be big for football. If you remember, I was so small. Even when I played my first year with Kalihi Giants, I was the center for Ron Mizutani, which we called Dookie back then. And everybody would have to make sure they made weight. I was one of the rare guys that they've, you know, had to make sure I made weight to be fatter, if you will. So there would be teammates who would be in a van with sweats, and they would just lock the doors and let them sweat out. It was the makeshift sauna. But I was one of the kids that they would take to Jolly Roger and then pick up shakes, cheeseburgers, or go up the road to Libby's Manapua and eat food just to make weight. Even talks of, hey, we think we might have to put rocks in your shoes. So, you know, I think from, you know, just early on, you know, sports with football, I just said, you know, this is a little brutal and rough. So I think basketball was something I could kind of evenly play, you know.
your faith, Rainier, I want to talk about how your faith in Christ grew. You grew up going to Catholic school, but how did you come to faith how did your faith journey develop? I want you to take us on that journey when we come back from our break. You're listening to Rainier Villa. When I grew up, I would think of the Villas and I think of basketball, and I remember watching Rainier play back then it was the HIC, which then became the Blaisdell Arena. I remember watching him play for Marinol. I remember watching his brother Blaze play, and these were amazing talents. They could do, it was like magic to me watching them in action. When we come back, we'll talk about something supernatural in the realm of God's love and mercy in the life of Rainier Villa. Today, where are you, my friend? What are you going through? What's the challenge ahead? Do you feel anxiety? Is there fear? Is there worry? Well, the Lord sends Rainier Villa here to share heart to heart, and it'll encourage you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, it's those moments when you think back about your growing up years. Who were you with? Who did you play with? Where did those games take place? Where did those interactions happen? And when you walk down memory lane, for some, there are sweet memories. Of course, for others, there are challenging memories, but quite often, you know, interactions with others your age are quite formative in one way or another. I can say that I was blessed by being a part of, and you heard Rainier Villa mention the Kalakaua Monarchs. That was part of my shaping as a child, and even going in as a boy and becoming a young man, things that I treasure going back. Well, we're here. Rainier's here to share not only about that, but about how God has, through that, worked in his heart and life. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. Our guest today, Rainier Villa. I do want to say a shout out to his mother, Auntie April Villa, and my heart filled with gratitude for the sacrifices that you and Uncle Reza and your whole family made on behalf of so many of us in our formative years. You can find out more about this program, dear friend. As you listen, you can go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, get this podcast in its entirety as a gift. Just go ahead and download it, send it to a family member or friend, and get it at thegoodlifehawaii.com. So, Rainier, the spiritual journey.
Mm-hmm.
How did you grow in your relationship with God and your faith in Jesus Christ?
Well, born and raised in Catholic school. My parents are devout Catholics, so went to St. Anthony's from first to eighth, Damon and Marino. So my Catholic faith was the foundation. Back in 2001, I would want to say, is when I became a born-again Christian. And what led up to that was my brother Blaze. We've never gotten in trouble or gotten involved in any type of, you know, drugs or anything, but Blaze took a different journey at one time and was in and out of jail. And finally, after, you know, years in prison and going in and out, he became involved with the Word of Life and Men of War. So I remember on a Friday night, he would invite me to come and help and say, hey, look, you know, we got all these high-risk youth and these events. Why don't you come out and help? So I would, because I just wanted to spend time with my brother, having to be reunited with him and just bringing family back together. And I remember he said, I'm going to give a talk on a Friday night. So I said, okay, I'm going to come. And I remember it was standing in the back of the chapel, and he started from the back nearby me, and he walked to the front. But as he walked, he had this long roll of paper, and it went all, he took it and let it unfold until he got to the stage, and it was his rap sheet. So I remember just reliving a lot of the challenges he went through, we all faced as family. And as he was sharing his heart with all these kids and people, I could feel God change him. And that's all I ever wanted, was just to have that change. And as soon as he got done, he walked towards the back, and I remember I didn't wait. I just ran to him, embraced him, hugged him. I said, you know, this is all I ever asked for, is God to bring my brother back. So just seeing that unfold kind of reminded me of a premonition or a prayer that my uncle had prayed over Blaze. Prior to that, we, on one of his, in between when he was released, he started his own construction company and got into fell back into that old world. And I remember there's an argument going on the property, and one of his co-workers came out to the property, and I confronted a co-worker because I felt it was that guy who was, you know, bringing things onto the property, and was God blazed back into the old ways. So I confronted the guy, I said, just leave. The guy left. Blaze came out. He was wondering where the guy was, and in the midst, he found that I chased the guy off, and we got into a fight, and we seldom fought, but that night was a Wednesday night we fought, and he ended up, they broke us up. Next day, Wednesday morning, his girlfriend, which ended up becoming his wife, she left because of all the things that was going on, and I went to work, and then I got a call later that day, and it was my mom and my cousin, who worked for my brother at the time, found Blaze hanging. So that was kind of a scary time, because my last interaction with him was not good. So now he was at Queens in ICU. And I had guilt, you know, within me because I felt that's something tough and I had a hard time going to see him. So I went to basketball at Kalakala Saturday morning, which we normally did. And one of the guys, the older guy, he trained those people at Queens. So he said, I'm going to take you to see your brother. His name was Stanley Butak. And he goes, I'm going to take you to see your brother. So we went that Saturday morning. I remember seeing my brother and he was in a coma. And everything was just swollen. They had to put this ointment on his eyes because he couldn't cover his lids. And all I could think of was, in my mind, was just death, death, death. Kept ringing in my head. And then my cousin was by my brother's side. He was praying and crying. My cousin Wade and Stanley said, hey, we're going to come back. I'm going to take you to the room. So they showed me the CAT scan. So it was, they said, you know, it's swelling. It was a real crucial time because they said if he doesn't make it through that weekend, we might have to make some hard decisions. So when we got back to my brother's room, I remember my uncle, Abraham, pure Hawaiian. He was a kahu. And he ended up, asked us to leave the room. And so we went outside and he prayed over Blaze for about an hour. And when we waited, when he was done, he came out and he pulled me to the side. He goes, I want to talk to you. So he said, this is not your brother's time. What he's going to do is he's going to clean up. He's going to do the work of God and he's going to touch lives. So I looked at my uncle, and this is my uncle who always, you know, said all the answers in life is in the Bible. And I never doubted him, and I may have been weak in my faith, you know, but I just said, okay, uncle, I'll just stand. And sure enough, my brother came out of the coma. He did turn his life around, and he ended up working for Word of Life, doing the Men of War, going out giving talks to high schools throughout the state. Ron Mizutani did a special on him, Life After ICE, and he turned his life around. So I think for me to witness a change in my brother, who I thought I had actually lost to do so many things, I felt, you know, that change affected me just organically.
What happened inside, in your heart, right here?
So, I was still going to Catholic Church and going to Word of Life, and I thought I was going to I thought I was going to disappoint my dad because I was going to. He knew I was going to Catholic Church, but yet also going to Word of Life, and I was becoming more. I felt stronger in my faith from reading God's word and just seeing how it applied. And so I remember walking into my dad. I could talk to him about anything. And I just kind of braced myself. And I said, you know, Dad, you know, I've been going to church at St. Anthony's, but also going to Word of Life. He goes, yes. And he goes, I see that and I see a change. And I said, you know, Dad, is it okay if I just become a born-again Christian and just go to, you know, Word of Life? He goes, I'm happy. As long as you believe in God, we all worship the same God. And he goes, it's good. And I just had this weight lifted off of me. And to me, I was just more concerned because I honor and respected my dad. And I knew he was a real strong man of faith. So I think just even when Blaze, that when I was talking about, he gave that talk where he rolled out his rap sheet all the way to the stage. At the end, he goes, you know, I'm here to save you too. And I looked at him. I remember that time I said, what do you mean save me? I go to church. I'm thinking, I didn't say this to him, but I thought, I go to church. I believe in God. Don't worry about saving me. But it all came to fruition as well. And I'm glad I was able to witness and see things because, you know, until I, you know, people get to see how bad things can be and they think that there's no way out and they see how it unfolds, it's like there's nothing else that could have done except God.
This is riveting as you speak about the inner life. You know, very many times, Rainier, we live this life that people can see and we're quite well practiced, I should say, in the way that we are able to come across. I'm speaking we in general, people.
Yeah.
We know how to come across or behave, but there's the inner life that doesn't always get shared. We don't always talk about. And that's why this is so meaningful today, and I appreciate your transparency. Because people are suffering. People want others to know what they feel or how they think or what they're going through, but don't often have the chance to do that. And in some mysterious, maybe gracious and supernatural way, as you speak, there's a point of connection where God's grace on your life touches the heart of a listener. Not just a listener, though, but a listener who God knows right now. And that's why Rainier Villa and I turn to you, dear friend, as you are with us listening. You might be at home, you might be at work, you might be in your car, you might be listening through an online connection. You may have downloaded this. Someone might have sent a link to you. But God knows where you are, and He's reaching out to you with love and grace and strength. There is hope in Jesus Christ. Rainier Villa will share more with us when we come back. He sacrificed a lot. You know, he was in school on his way, graduated high school, had a great high school career in basketball, was at Hawaii Pacific University. Then he transitioned to take care of his grandparents. What then? How did that unfold? What happened inside him as he went through that process? These things and more from Rainier Villa, Heart to Heart with you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Yamashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So how would you respond if an opportunity came to excel in your life, excel in your career, your potential career, and then the pause button had to be pushed? But you make a decision. You say, Danny, you're speaking in cryptic terms here. Be more specific. Well, Rainier Villa pushed the pause button on his career as a collegiate pursuit, earning his degree to take care of his loved ones. I'm going to let him share about that. Danny Yamashiro here, Rainier Villa, my guest. Thanks for being with us, dear friend. We're grateful that you come and speak so openly, and our dear listeners. Dear one, as you listen, I would say open your heart for what the Lord has to say to you at this time in your life. Find out more about our program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Rainier, take us back. Student at HPU, a detour.
Yeah. So like I shared earlier, you know, parents always had us involved in everything, even summer school activities. And freshman year in college, I went to school, and I remember working several jobs and finally told my dad, you know, hey, Dad, I'm thinking about if it's okay. Again, I'm bracing myself, Dad, if I could just continue working part-time at the stadium and continue my full-time summer job, at least for one semester. And he said, okay, you can do that, but just want you to go back to school and just try to finish your degree. So, which I did, he allowed me, but I remember working so hard that period of time that I said, okay, I don't want to work as hard. I want to work smarter, but pursue things. So I went back to school. And then I said, okay, I think I want to go to the mainland and chose Seattle because I had great family friends and family there. So I went to Seattle for that summer. And then I got a call from Dad. My grandmother, his mom, was diagnosed with cancer, and she was, her name was Lela. We called her Lela, Augustina Villa, and she was 90, 91 or 92, I think, at the time. And so I flew back, and I did it without hesitation. I didn't see anything. My dad didn't force it. Nobody forced it on me. I said, I'll do it. I think that was one of the greatest educations anybody could ever have, because I could have, even though I truly valued family growing up and time with them, but I even learned more. And my grandparents came from the Philippines, plantation workers, worked hard their whole life, working small jobs, but yet were able to amass, wealth via real estate and doing it smart. But they always help people along the way. Whoever was struggling, they took in family. So my I got to see that part of my family. And so when it came to my grandmother, I felt like there should be no other choice but to be there for her. And I came back home. I was working part-time, went back to school part-time, but then I ended up stopping altogether. After my grandmother had passed, 2 years later, then I had my grandfather, and who passed 2 years after my grandmother. So by then I was involved in, gone into real estate. And I remember my grandmother, before she passed, she said, just promise me you'll finish your degree. And I said, I will. So I made that promise to her. So as I'm in real estate, if people would remember, there was that huge state, financial challenge where they had this this programs called Thumbs Up Hawaii to build the morale of the state, because there was a lot of layoffs at Pearl Harbor State. The economy was real bad. And I remember that one year I was just so challenged, in real estate just as a realtor, and I thought, what else could I do, you know, should anything go worse? So I thought, I want to get into pharmaceutical sales. So learned about it, and they all said, you need a four-year degree. So I said, okay. So I remember going up back to my dad. I said, Dad, you know, I think I'm going to go back to school. And he said, you know what, if you want to, we all will support you, meaning that we support your decision. And then I remember he said, hey, your grandmother has some money on the side for you for school. It's not that much, but it'll pay. I said, okay. So I remember going back to school one semester, and I ran into Coach Salido at the time there, and he goes, what are you doing on campus? And I said, you know, I'm just back in school, Coach. He goes, did you pay for your tuition? I said, I did. He goes, come see me at my office when you're done with your class. I went to his office. He goes, starting next semester, I want you back in basketball, you know, and help with, you know, whatever. And he goes, if not, you got a tuition waiver. Everything is, you know, is there for you. And I just felt just everything kind of unfolding. So I was blessed, very blessed in that sense. It took a lot of pressure off of me. My dad was happy. but that's how it all unfolded, to go back to school. And I eventually left real estate. I was able to finish my degree and start the MBA concurrently in a short period of time. But I think what made a difference was when you have a goal, at least for me, my focus was so much more better, and you know, I was able to complete my degree in a faster time. So I was grateful for that, but I always had to remember too, it's a promise I made to my grandmother that I felt that it had to be fulfilled.
There's a lot packed in there, Rainier. Your commitment to your grandmother to come back from Seattle when your dad called, to let you know her condition, to put your life on hold, and to give yourself away to your family in need. I don't think anybody, not everybody would do that or would be inclined to do that. And that's why it just stood out to me so much to hear about this part of your life, but then also to see how your grandma put some money away, but then how God provided through Coach Salido.
Correct.
Which goes back to the days when you played for him, those great and glorious days at Marinol, and how it even goes back to the Kalakaua days.
Yeah.
Of learning the game, and how you developed, and how you were able to pass that on in the next season of your life. Mm-hmm. As a student, as you finished. Now, how has the Lord in your career now, the lessons that you've learned, and perhaps even other moments when you've experienced challenging times? And the reason I ask, Rainier, is because people are facing tough times in these days of COVID, days of uncertainty, so much change. I think what you've gone through and a lot of what you share will touch someone. God will touch someone through your words.
Mm-hmm. You know, the pharmaceutical industry has always been volatile, at least for the past 10 years. A lot of changes. And my history with my first company was 12 and a half years, and they went through sudden layoffs, and it was in March 2017, I had this phone call. They said, everybody wait by your phone, which we had a month prior to that, had to fly to Denver to re-interview our jobs and wait by the phone 2 weeks later to find out if we had a job or not. So that was a challenging time. Then after being displaced, I immediately started networking with people, finding out if there's any other positions available, and I was hired with another pharmaceutical company within a month, which is unheard of, because it's, you know, it does take some time and these opportunities don't occur often. And so at the very start of the pandemic of June 2020, my previous company sent a mass email saying everybody wait by the phone. It was less than 24 hours notice, and they decided to shut down Hawaii operations. And I was the only rep here, so I thought I should be safe. But so during that pandemic, getting a sudden call within less than 24 hours notice, 5 o'clock in the morning, getting a phone call from East Coast saying, with an attorney and a manager on the phone reading this script as far as what's involved and, you know, what are they doing, and you're no longer working with the company, was very challenging, because I'd just gone through that a couple of years, 3 years prior to that, and especially during the pandemic. So it did bring a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. It questioned my faith, you know, and so there was a lot of challenging times when all I could do was just hang on. And I think for me, it was the men's group, the life group that the Bible study group that I still connect with, helped walk me through. And my life group leader's name is Derek Ito. He literally, to this day, walks me through things that sometimes just, what do you do? How do you stand? This doesn't seem right, or this doesn't feel right. But he said, everything's going to be okay. If God had provided for you so quickly the first time, what makes you think he's not going to provide for you? And 4 months later, actually within 4 months, I got hired with another pharmaceutical company. And this is a highly desirable company that people were saying, we were interviewing for the job. We were trying to get it too. So I'm just happy to be where I'm at. I think even though during this pandemic, just to see people's change overall, believers, non-believers, in different ways, all we can do is just continue to stand in the gap, continue to avail ourselves, because we never know what a person walking down the street, or just maybe thinking or going through, or even a doctor I saw. He said, Rainer, I cannot talk to you right now. And I said, I'm sorry, doc, I'll come back another time. Went in within 2 weeks later, and he apologized. I said, doc, you don't need to apologize. And I said, it's because I had to tell a patient bad news, that there was no hope. So I get it. We never know what anybody's going through, but all we can do is, especially during this time, is just walk in love, continue to pray for people, but just be mindful of how we approach, whether if it's our tone, our talk, or our intent.
Much needed reminder, Rainier. Much needed. So thank you for that. When we come back, let's be our last segment. So let's hunker down and really share with the joys of the Lord in the midst of the challenges that we face. I think these are the things, Rainier, where true joy is seen not just in happy moments when we're everything is going well. The deep joy is, as we talk about, we learn about the joy of the Lord being our strength. That's in the difficult moments. Even when people feel helpless or hopeless, there's a joy and hope. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, that's the thing. You just never know when life will take a turn, and then you have to adjust. How well are you able to make the change? And sometimes these changes could put a stop, and sometimes even as though you were hit in the gut, you feel like all the wind is knocked out, or the wind has left your sails, as it were. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Rainier Villa, my dear friend and our guest today. And I'm grateful that you're with us, and I'm glad you're here, because dear one, as you listen, as you tune in, as you, press play to listen to this program, God will, I believe, encourage you even through some of the darkest moments. Well, Rainier, we talk about a brother. We talk about a father and a sister, father and sister in the hospital at the same time. But share with us about Blaze.
So, again, thank you again, Danny, for allowing me to share. And my brother Blaze, during his time in 2007 on Good Friday, he was during rush hour traffic. He was on his Harley Davidson to drop off a set of keys to somebody, friends in right below Tripler, and he was coming down the on-ramp, and the car in front of him changed lanes, but it was during traffic. So according to the witness, they said, it was only about 30, 35 miles an hour, but ended up getting hit by the car and passed away on Good Friday. Mind you, the Friday before, we had his first grandchild's baby shower, and then he passes away on Good Friday suddenly. And then three Fridays later, the grandchild, his first grandchild was born. Blaze was a major part for me, not only as a brother, but somebody spiritually as well. And truly dearly miss him, I think sharing part of his life will help to keep his memory strong, but also, helping with his daughters who are all in Texas. His son still lives here, is married with two boys as well. But I think just, being there for them the kids, it just to help, you know, just to allow his memory to live, but also to, you know, being there for them, just to strengthen that huge loss. Because when I seen the girls when it came to that day, just it was heartbreaking. And then I turned and looked at my parents too, you know, and just seeing what their loss, what they're feeling, as well as dealing with my own loss. So I just try to put in perspective, like, I'm going to delve in and just bury myself in family and, you know, and just help whatever I can. That was my coping mechanism, you know. And then remember 2 years to his anniversary, to his passing, there's flowers we still put on the overpass by Mauna Loa, Fort Shaft overpass right by your old place. And I remember pulling up there 2 years later on his anniversary and stayed there for 2 hours after 5 to like 7 p.m. and just finally broke down. But we all have our moments, how when we break, how we grieve and so forth. I'm grateful for the highway patrol and the police who are, who I knew at the time. They would just, they knew who I was and why I was there, but they would always just flash their highlights to make sure I was okay and just wave at them and they'll leave me alone. So, and my brother, he tragically, you know, lost his life on a motorcycle accident. You know, his memory still lives on through his family and through things that we do on his behalf.
You talk about his spiritual legacy, mm-hmm. too, through you and those that you touch. About your dad, Risa Lino Villa, and your sister, recently in the hospital at the same time. What was that like? Then I want to make sure we spend time praying. Mm-hmm. Because someone today is relating, is tracking with you, brother. And you have a pathway into their heart, as it were, by God's grace, to pray for and minister to them.
Yeah.
Tell us about your dad
and
sister.
My dad has always been the stronghold for us spiritually. During the time of when I was displaced from my job at the start of the pandemic of June, you know, Dad and I would go to church every 6:30 morning mass. That was part of the ritual, and it was something that, you know, made him happy, and I was just happy to, you know, do that. And so in a transition of uncertainty of not having a job and searching, I finally landed a job. Well, right then, my sister had some stomach issues and was in the hospital for a month, and they couldn't figure out why. And during that month's stay, my dad went in twice for, you know, for being weak, and he had some heart issues. So I remember he went in for about 4 or 5 days, got discharged while Anella was still there. And then a week later, he went back in right during his appointment. And Anella got discharged on Saturday. And so Dad was admitted Friday, the day before. So Anella was weak. She was barely, I think, 100 pounds or so. But they found out she had an inflamed intestines. So they figured it out and got her, you know, discharged. And praise God, she's healed today. And in the meantime, during that pandemic, Dad was not doing well, and he was getting weaker. So by Tuesday, which was November 10th, 2020, you know, we had a meeting. We were there in the room, and all of a sudden, Dad went to be with the Lord. Not what he wanted, in the sense that I know he fought when he got admitted that Friday. He wanted to just go home. He was not happy to be back there, you know, taken from the doctor's office straight to ER because he was weak. So that was a huge, challenging time to have that fear of both of your loved ones in the hospital, and also the transition of, you know, of how are we going to make things work to get that out? And then, you know, now Dad's with the Lord.
Renee, you talk about fear. Someone is in a fearful place right now as they listen. In their situation, they're fearing. And now they hear you. You say a prayer for them, seeing that you've come through and you're able to share heart to heart as you are with the hope of the Lord. Would you pray for that person?
Sure.
Please.
Heavenly Father, I just come before you. We all come before you boldly to the throne to ask for you to continue to send godly labors before those who are feeling in need, feeling in fear or pain or anxiety, Lord, that your word remains true regardless of yesterday, today, or tomorrow. Father God, no weapon formed against them shall prosper. We plead the blood of Jesus over every area of their lives. And we just ask that the Holy Spirit guides and directs those godly labors to speak truth, life, and love upon these people. May you open the doors of opportunity upon each and every one of them and continue just to allow them to be strengthened through you, your word. And also, Father God, we just thank you that you continue to bless these people, Danny and his show, and everybody who's involved as they continue to do the work of the ministry. We thank you, Father God, for today and each and every day. And we give you all the praise, honor, glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Rainier, you are a gift. And you are a blessing from the Lord.
You too, Dad.
Thank you for your love. Thank you for your friendship.
Same here.
Thank you for being here today, dear brother.
Love you, brother. God bless.
I love you too. Life-giving words from Rainier Villa. Dear friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, we believe this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video set up for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers or to make a financial donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Donate. John 6:33, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Rainier Villa. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.